So today's message is called Perfect in Weakness. We're going to explore what Jesus meant by that.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much again for your ministry today. And we're going to give you the praise. We're going to thank you, Lord, that you're still alive. You're still on the throne. You're still healing. You're still setting people free. You're still comforting us. You're still walking with us daily. And I'm thanking you for that. And may the church rise up and begin to share your word, Lord. And that this word would just challenge us today. Use me, Lord. In Jesus' name. God's people say,
amen,
amen and amen. I have a message that I guess near and dear to my heart, and as we, a lot of us have been going through a lot of different things. But I want to go back again to scripture that I've referenced in the past couple sermons, and last couple weeks we've been talking about grace. Last week I talked about mercy. But I want to go back to that same portion of scripture that I did talk about grace with as we start today's message. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul speaking here to the Corinthian church, and we're going to start in verse 7. The Apostle Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you." And I preached on that a few weeks ago. And the Lord brought me right back to this again. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And I know all of us at one point or another have probably heard or read that particular scripture. And today, I want to key in on that verse 9 and the words that Jesus spoke to Paul. "My grace is sufficient. It's enough for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now that's the part that I want to key in on this sermon. And it's interesting that the Lord just keeps bringing back to the same scriptures again, but different parts of it. So today's message is called Perfect in Weakness. We're going to explore what Jesus meant by that when he said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." The Apostle Paul. And this is a man that had experienced so much in his lifetime. And I know this, and I'm going to tell on myself here. Many of you that have sat in the Ministry Training Center have heard me preach for years and years. Many of you know that you've heard me say that the Apostle Paul is my hero. All of us have heroes in the Scriptures, right? Some of it's King David. Some of you are King David. Some are Peter, because you say, "I identify with him. I open my mouth before I think." And some various different characters of scriptures, but mine I've always said was the Apostle Paul. That I want to be like him. I want to pattern myself after him. And when I was speaking of this, Laura and I talk a lot after the sermons, and we kind of discussed through some things. And she said, when we were talking about grace and what the Lord said here, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, and the things that I've dealt with, and asking the Lord to remove this pain from me, she said, well, remember, you said you want to be like the Apostle Paul. So be careful in what you're asking for. And if you truly mean that. But this was Paul's heart here. And so we look at this looking back as to why Jesus said this to the Apostle Paul. He said, you know, my grace is enough. It's all you're going to need. I'm not going to take away this messenger of Satan that's buffeting you, but I'm going to give you my grace. But then, of course, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Why would Jesus say this? And I'm the one that wants to go back, and I want to see why. Okay? So let's look back here in the opening verses of this chapter. Look at verses 1 through 4 in chapter 12 here. Paul said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I can't tell, or whether out of the body I can't tell. God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, initially when you're reading through here, you're thinking he's talking about someone that was caught up into paradise. Someone that saw heaven. Someone that saw great visions. The Apostle Paul was talking about himself. He says, now, I don't know whether I was actually in the body or if this was a vision, but Paul saw things that no man ever had seen. God allowed him to see those things. God allowed the Apostle Paul to have visions and operate in those visions and knowing great mysteries of God. Now, how many of us at one point or another said, God, I want to know the mysteries of God? See, for years and years, as I was younger, and I come back to this, I would read this young in the ministry, and I would say, God, I want to know the great mysteries and revelations that Paul knew. And God, that you would open my eyes to see things. And that I would walk in the supernatural, and that I would see these things. God, I want that. The Apostle Paul made a statement like this. He said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. And I liked that part, but I had to go on with the rest of the scripture and the fellowship of his sufferings. But I want to know the Lord. And if that's what we want, we come back to this same thing again, right, Sheila? If we want to know the Lord, that includes everything. And the Apostle Paul had these great visions. And he saw these things. And there's other scriptures that go in this. But listen, he saw heaven. He saw paradise. And yet he was not allowed to speak of it. Because God holds certain mysteries on his own. Now, yes, we've had a lot of people that tell stories of dying and coming back to life and things that they saw or experienced. True. But God allowed the Apostle Paul to see so much more. Now, imagine just that. If you had been there and you saw heaven, and you saw the things that were in heaven, I think because of this carnal nature of ours, it would be hard for us to hold it in, would it not? I mean, when you've seen something great happen, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to go tell. You know what I just saw today? It was incredible. I mean, even we do such things. You know, I've spent a lot of time out on the water, and I see a lot of wonderful things. I see eagles that are flying. The other day, I was out there with Gene's son, Michael, and we stopped for a moment because God gave us a show of a mother and two fawns that were just playing and having a grand time right there on the shore, about probably 10 feet from us. And they were playing and they were kicking, and the mother would chase the other one, run around the forest, and she'd jump over the mother, and this was going on, and then they'd stop for a minute and they'd all come right up to the shore, the water, and look at us. And they'd look, and then one of the babies would say, "Time to get at it again." And this went on for 5-10 minutes. Wonderful things that we get to see in this life. So what did I do? I came home and, "Babe, you won't believe what we saw." And we all do it. But Paul had all these things that he had experienced. And besides that, you turn over just a page or two into Galatians chapter 1. Paul also reveals some other things here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 17. He's talking about his early time in ministry after God saves him. He says, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia." Arabia, by the way, is a desert. Okay? Not much there. "And returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now, this is an indication that the Apostle Paul spent up to 3 years in the desert with Jesus, and Jesus giving him revelation, Jesus giving him knowledge. Because you have to remember, the Apostle Paul was not one of the original disciples that was with Jesus and spent those 3 years with Jesus and knew all about the things that Jesus did. He was not there, but Jesus spent the time with him as an apostle after due season. Now, if you got to spend 3 years in the desert with Jesus and Jesus sharing all these things with you, you see, all of this was in Paul's mind and in his heart and in his spirit. And this is why the Apostle Paul says in verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, reproaches. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because God said, I am not going to allow your head to get what? Puffed up." Because the Apostle Paul was still a man. And that flesh nature of us, when we know so much, and when we've been blessed with so much. See, and I'll just say this, that some of us have been blessed so much. How many of you have been blessed so much that sometimes it's easy to slip into when you find someone else that hasn't been blessed as much as you, to say, well, I wish you were blessed as much as me. And we let our head start getting puffed up. And I think God allowed this messenger of Satan to buffet him to keep him grounded. And the second part, perfect in weakness. So very, very important. He had all these things. And I think I gave this to Rick, but I'm going to put this up on the board. God will work through man. He's going to work through us. He's going to show us His revelations, right? He's going to give us supernatural gifts, but He won't share His glory. I want us to get a hold of that particular thing right there. So, in Paul's case, and we're going to get to this in our case, sometimes there are infirmities there that keep us grounded and keep us knowing this, that though we may have great revelations and we may know the Word of God and we may have been blessed with so many things, God is still God. And He will be the only one that has the glory that is reserved for Him. He will not share His glory with man. Go with me to the book of Isaiah. And the Lord speaking through Isaiah the prophet in chapter 42. Let's pay particular attention to this because Isaiah refers to this. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand. I will keep you, and give a covenant for the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So here we see that same thing, that God will give us revelations. God will allow us to work in His kingdom, but He will not share His glory. I will not give my glory to another. Great men of God have done great things. And women of God. Such a one was Moses. Great man of God. Led the people out of Egypt. So many miracles through him. But I want to go to a place where somehow that fled away. I'm telling you, if you go back to Numbers chapter 20, I think that this is something that we need to pay attention to. Numbers chapter 20, and we're going to start in verse 7 here. Moses had been leading the children of Israel for quite a few years here now. Great things happening. And we come to a spot where the people are thirsty again. And the Lord, verse 7, spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, you and Aaron your brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it will give forth his water. And you'll bring forth them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. What did God tell him to do? Speak to the rock. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, so far so good. And he said unto them, Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? What just happened? Even the great man of God, Moses. He says, you guys are a bunch of rebels. Do I have to do this again for you? What did he do? He started to take God's glory, didn't he? Started to be about him. And Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod he smote the rock twice. Now he no longer steals God's glory, but he disobeys what God says. To prove, I'm the man. God just said, oh, that's all right. Right? Yeah. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you will not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses had to sit it out after 40 years of leading the people towards the promised land. He had to sit it out. Now Moses is still with the Lord, but there were consequences to pay. For his head becoming big, stealing the glory of God. God is the only one that will receive the glory. And oftentimes I think God allows what happened to the Apostle Paul to happen to some of us. And we don't like that story, do we? We just don't like that story at all. Coming back to the phrase that God tells us, perfect in weakness. This sermon is about the Amplified version. I want to read it here. It says this, For my strength and my power, says the Lord, are made perfect, fulfilled, completed, and show themselves most effective in your human weakness. And I like that. This is why Paul says he will glory or rejoice in his weaknesses and in his infirmities. Because once God told him, listen, I'm going to allow this to keep you from trying to steal the glory. And then, when he says, my strength is made perfect, it is fulfilled in your human weakness. So when Paul heard that, then he's like, well, then let it be, right? Let it be. I'm going to glory in the infirmities. I'm going to glory in the trials, in all the things that had happened to him. Now that's not something that we want to do, right? Because so many times we just want out of our trials. We want out of our afflictions. And we want out of the things that are troubling us. Am I the only one in here that can relate to that? Years ago when we had Pastor Gareth and his wife and family were here, we had a birthday party for the little one. Some of you may remember that. Jediah. Anyway, I don't know how old he was, what, 4 or 5. And people gave him gifts, and he opened the one gift, and he looked at it, and he just threw it. And his dad said, you can't do that. Somebody just gave that to you as a gift. He said, but I don't like it. See, we don't like it, these afflictions and things that happen. Okay? We don't. But if we'll understand this point that what God told Paul His strength is made perfect in our weakness. If we begin to understand that, it'll help our perspective. Our affliction allows God to be strong on our behalf. It doesn't make sense, does it? But it does allow, and I know in speaking with Marty so many times, you know, and it's just natural to say, why me? And why are all these things happening to me? I don't get it. And a lot of us can relate to that, can we not? Why? And then, you know, we think, what did I ever do? And why these things? And you know, continual things that happen to us. Well, our affliction allows God to be strong on our behalf if we understand this point. Go back over to the book of Isaiah one more time. And this is going to bring this out. Isaiah chapter 48. We were just in chapter 42, but I go to chapter 48 and verse 10. This is what God says. And again, we don't particularly like these things, but God said this, "Behold, I have refined you," verse 10, "but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of" what? Oh, we don't like that. We want to take that scripture out of there. We don't like that in our Word of God. "I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction. And for my own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another." So, again, several times that the Lord has said this, that He will not give His glory to another. "Hearken to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am He. I am He, the first. I am also the last. My hand has also laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together." Who are we talking about? The King. We're talking about the Lord. And this was the same thing that God brought to Job when Job finally was complaining about this whole affliction thing. And God said, "Listen, were you there when I created it all? Were you there? Did you help me create all these animals?" No, we weren't there. This affliction thing. Psalm 66. Psalm 66, verse 10. "For thou, O God, hast proved us. You've tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest under the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." Please understand, when we talk about the whole counsel of God here, God is not saying to us that we need to strive to be sick or afflicted for Him to be strong in us. Because some people would take a word like this and say, "Well then, you know, I guess God wants me to be sick. God doesn't want me to take care of myself." That's not the truth. We have to take the whole counsel of God here. Because when we look at some scriptures like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says this: "What? Don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God dwells in you. Wherefore glorify God both in your body and your spirit." Now, God is not saying to us that we shouldn't attempt to try to get our bodies better and do what we got to do and help the health of our bodies. We need to use a little wisdom here. If we're suffering and we have lack of energy and we're sick all the time, and the doc says to you, boy, I don't understand why you're sick. Tell me what you're eating or what, you know, what's happening in your life. Well, I'm eating a balanced diet. I'm eating Kit Kats for breakfast. Cinnamon rolls for lunch. And Taco Bell for dinner. And some of us think that's a balanced diet. Twinkies, Hostess cupcakes, Slim Jims. Oh, we got to get our protein there, right? What? Don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Should try to glorify God in these bodies. So God is not telling us that we should strive to be sick and strive to be afflicted. He's not telling us that. Because James chapter 5, and as we just had here, a prayer service, James chapter 5, is anyone sick among you, right? What should you do? Call for the elders of the church. Let them come, anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he's done anything, any sin, the Lord will raise him up and forgive him, all that stuff. So we have to take the whole counsel of God's Word here. I know that some individuals, and there are actually some doctrines that people say, God wants me sick, and God wants me poor, and God wants me was so down and out and depressed so he can be glorified. That is not what this is talking about here. It is talking about the fact that if, even after we are attempting to do all we know to do to take care of these bodies, and yet we find ourselves in an afflicted place. And I can just tell you that one of the things that I tried to do because of our family and our family history and heart issues and so forth, to take care of my body and try to eat right and to exercise and do all of those things. And yet, one day, a doctor says to me, you need open heart surgery. Your arteries are 90% clogged in every artery. And of course, the surgery after that. But that doctor that came into my room, I said to him, what was the use of doing all of those things? I was upset. Can you imagine? I said, it was useless. And I never forget, God uses people, and he used this doctor. And the doctor got up in my face and he said, you're alive, aren't you? A lot of people in your condition, with 90% blockage in every artery, would have died and had a heart attack and be dead. So we need to pay attention to what God says. Do the very best that you can. And the Lord humbled me during that time. But I'm just being totally straightforward with us. If you find yourself in the place of affliction, we need to come back to this. That look, God says, you're going to find that His grace will be enough for you. You're also going to find that His work is perfect in your weakness. He begins to work. And I'm going to wrap this up, but that phrase, when I am weak, He becomes strong, it's true. If we will embrace that. And I know that I've had a lot of people say to me, and my mother was one of those, as she in the last few years, she had so much pain in her hip, and her heart was bad. And she said, "Jerry, I can't do the things that I used to do for the kingdom of God, and I feel like I'm letting God down." And I used to tell her, I said, "Mom, it comes down to this, that His strength becomes perfected in our weakness. You do what you can do." And there's so many people that come to me and, "You know, I can't physically do the things that I used to do for the kingdom of God." God knows that. God understands that. We may not be able to climb, we may not be able to do all the things, but we can do some other things in the kingdom of God. We can pray. We can intercede. We can encourage. We can teach the younger. We can do a lot of things. So really, it's time to quit feeling sorry for ourselves of what we can't do. And the Lord reminded me of this because I get convicted too, okay? Because, you know, I kept saying to people, "Hey, you know, before the heart surgery, I could quote scripture, I could tell you where it was at, and some of you can testify to that, that it was just all up there." And then after that surgery, a lot of it just went away as far as the memorization of where things were at. And I walked around saying, "Well, I used to be able to, you know, before I could do this, before that." And the Lord finally dealt with me and says, "But what can you do now? Because My strength will become perfect in your weakness." Because it isn't about us. A lot of times we think it is. We think it's all the things that we do for the kingdom of God. Is anybody hearing me? But if we'll rest in this, that He becomes perfect and His strength becomes greater in our weaknesses. He knows where we're at. And He knows what you can and what you can't do. So I think it's about time for me to quit saying that, don't you? "Well, I used to be able to do this." But God says, "What can you do now? What can you do now?" God isn't done with us, folks. How many of you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, He's not done with us. James chapter 4. "Be afflicted and mourn and weep, but let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." Who's the one that's supposed to be glorified here, folks? Us or Him? Yeah. And I think a lot of times we try and steal God's glory by thinking it's all the things that we did, or what we used to do, or used to be able to do. Let's thank God for what we can do today. And young people, remember this message. Because if the Lord tarries, you'll be there too someday. I know you think we're old, but let's do what we can for the kingdom of God while we can do it. Amen? He's not done with us, even in our affliction. He becomes stronger. And it's the hardest thing for us to accept, but if we'll accept this and do this, if we find ourselves in the afflictions, to glory in those afflictions. And to allow Him to become strong. Because it's all about Him anyway. Amen? Pray together with me. Lord, thank You for the Word today. You've been taking us deep, Father, into the things of Your Word, and we thank You for that. We ask now, Father, that this Word would settle into our hearts, and that we would have the full counsel of Your heart and Your Word. Lord, I want to personally thank you for the things that I do have. And I ask that you would forgive me for saying so often what I don't have. Lord, and that you'd use us for your glory. Help us to remember it's all about your glory. Anyway, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.